This past Sunday night, we had a really interesting service. If you were here, you experienced it. If you weren't, it is on, it's archived, the video is archived, you can go back and watch it. But it was a rather unique service, especially when the Lord had me come up and share with you. It was a different kind of prophetic word, and it will be made available. But I want to read something to you. Like I said in the past, I've shared with you how that I use Facebook to make ministry announcements, and I post things, computer tips, and so forth to help people. I don't take pictures of my, you know, hamburgers and whatever and post them. Some of the things people have posted that they eat, I'm thinking, seriously, this is disgusting. You know, I'm going to like upchuck just looking at this pig. You eat this? You actually eat this? But anyway, that's not me. Nevertheless, I was checking Facebook, and I pretty much leave it open all day long because sometimes I get Facebook messages from people in other countries and I need to reply. And, you know, sometimes the messages are from, you know, within the States as well. But I saw something, and the person who posted it, I don't know if I've ever met this person. I'm not going to give a name. And if you hear this and you say, oh, I know who that is, what I'm getting ready to read, this is not an endorsement of this person as far as ministry is concerned, because I don't know this person well enough. Anyway, this person posted a question on Facebook. And here's the question. I mean, I just copied and pasted all of this. If you could take a Bible course on any topic, what would you want it to be? And I'm talking about a real course with lectures, quizzes, tests, and assessments. Well, then people began replying. Now, I'm going to read to you word for word what people posted, what they would like to be taught. Our identity in Christ. The fivefold ministry. Spiritual warfare. Apologetics and doctrine. Apologetics is simply, let's just call it detailed teaching, you know, to keep it simple. Discernment. Essential Christian doctrine. Aspect of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the function of the Holy Spirit, I guess that's what they're talking about there. The book of Romans. The fruit of the Spirit. How to live a genuine Christian life according to Scripture. The purpose of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, the body of Christ as a whole, and in the world. The apostolic mantle, or in other words, the ministry of the apostle, the apostolic ministry of the apostle. The life of an intercessor. The acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Resisting temptation. Now, do any of those sound familiar? In that, I have taught on every one of these subjects over the years. Every single one of them. Not just a one sermon expose, but in detail. And let me just say this. No matter how much you teach on a subject, you can never exhaust the teaching on that subject. You know, that's how wealthy the Bible is concerning any topic you want to study. Now, every one of these I have taught on. And in my flesh, I wanted to put my post on there and just say, hey, everything you folks have mentioned, you'll find it here at www.jmmgrace.com. But that would come across as excessively arrogant. It's not my place to do that. But I'm reading this, and I don't know how many additional posts have been added to that since I copied and pasted everything I read to you. However, I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, you know, every one of these, almost every one of them, would be considered basic, foundational, entry-level Christianity 101. Basic. Now, the book of Romans, you could say, well, that's a little bit more advanced, and I understand that, and I agree with you. But the whole thing of, you know, doctrine, spiritual warfare, you know, the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, the Holy Spirit, I mean, all of these. This is all really entry-level stuff. And now I'm not saying that to be critical of the people who posted these things, because they posted these things, they're serious. They want to know. These are subjects that to them are critical. In fact, at this point in time in their life, these subjects that they have identified are extremely life important to them, because this is what they want to know. And these are things they need to know to go forward in their walk with God. And I'm thinking, you know, man, just we could help them here. We could help them. We could point them to teaching series and or maybe a collection of individual sermons. We could point them to the Bible College. The teaching on all of this is available there at the website. And some of it in greater detail than others, but it's available. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking about the way the question was posed, in that if you could take a course on any topic, you know, a real course, lectures and tests, quizzes, assessments, and so forth. In other words, describing what you might call a college approach to learning. I'm thinking about this, and I know that as I'm thinking about it, my thoughts are not my own. In other words, the Holy Spirit is involved with this. We're at a place here, well, this past Sunday night, one of the things that the Holy Spirit specifically was speaking about is how far we've come as a church, spiritually, how far we've come. And I'm looking at this list and I'm thinking, you know, there are people here who call this their home church who could stand up and teach these subjects. You know, you could say, well, Brother Martin, I'm not ready. No, well, I don't mean stand up right now and teach. What I mean is, if you were told, okay, starting the first of next month, you're going to teach a course on this. Well, with all of the available information, for example, like the teaching that I've done on it, and what you know about how to study Scripture, etc., and so forth, you would be able to teach this. Now, maybe not everybody here that calls this their home church, but enough people could. You could do this. Now, here we have a group of people. I have no idea how many different states or even countries are represented by all the subjects that were put forth in the reply to this question on Facebook. But they're asking for this because they're not getting it. Now, if we just assume they're going to church, okay, this is my assumption. Yeah, they're born again, probably Spirit-filled. They're going to church somewhere. And they've been born again, Spirit-filled, and attending church for a period of time. But they don't know this. Now, those of you who call this church your home church, you might say, well, Brother Martin, I got to be honest with you. I mean, some of these things, I'm kind of iffy on. However, you would know where to find the teaching on it. You understand what I mean? You would know. You could go to the website and you could find it. And you could do like a word search through the individual sermons. There's a way to do that at the website and locate sermons that maybe fit. You know, you kind of have to go by titles. But nevertheless, you could do that. You could go to the teaching series and so forth. You'd be able to find it. But see, these folks don't know. Otherwise, they wouldn't have replied this way. So that means, assuming our assumption is correct, the church where they attend has not taught on this, or it's not available. Meaning, maybe it was taught at one time, but maybe the church doesn't post this on their website. I don't know how different churches handle things. But these folks are looking for something that's going to help them in their walk with Christ. They feel like this is a need in their life, and they're right. This is a need for all of us. Every one of these subjects and more, but these are all needs in our life. This is what we must have. And why don't you go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 2. See, it's kind of hard for me to just open up and say a lot of things that can be said, not negative things, but positive things, because it can come across as so much self-exaltation as far as our church is concerned. But we are what we are. We've learned what we've learned. And it's, you know, you can't just, I mean, it's not just me. You know, it's us. It's the Holy Spirit. We've learned what we've learned, and so therefore, from that perspective, okay, for me, growing up in church, man, I spent years in church, heard a lot of good things, a lot of things that were true, but, you know, there's so much that I've learned that I never heard when I was growing up in church. Never heard. In fact, some of it would probably never have been taught because there wasn't a belief in it. And when I got over into, you know, I was raised Baptist, so I get out of that church. And anyway, there are so many things that we have learned here that I did not hear properly or thoroughly taught at any point in time in my life, going back beyond the last 23 years, if you will. Now, for some of you, you're thinking, 23 years? Man, I was, you know, still chugging on the milk bottle at 23 years ago. But for me, being in my 60s, I can say that. Especially since, basically, I spent my whole life in church, almost. Except for a few years in the wilderness. What I'm getting at, again, and what the Holy Spirit was really working to point out Sunday night is that, okay, do you remember that song? I'm guessing some of you may have heard it, and I forget exactly who originally recorded it. But there's a phrase in the chorus that says, "Don't it always seem to go, you don't know what you've got till it's gone." I don't think any of us, and I'm going to include myself here, I don't think any of us really understand what we have here. Because the development has been so slow over the last 20 years. The growth, the progress has been slow. It hasn't been overnight. We have not had what you would call a day of Pentecost experience. You know, upper room, we haven't had a, you know, rushing mighty wind. We haven't seen cloven. In other words, there hasn't been this spectacular, instantaneous, you went from not knowing to knowing in one service. It's been a process. And, you know, in Scripture, you know, verses are flowing here. And I don't remember, due to my not remembering, not committing to memory all the chapters and verses and so forth. But, you know, Jesus was talking about to whom much is given, much is required. That's us. As a congregation, that is us. To whom much is given, much is required. We are, you know, you hear these things, being called to a higher level because we're ready for it. That doesn't mean that every one of us is called to go out full-time ministry, travel the world, preach the gospel. No, it just means we are being called now, to a higher level. We are at a higher level, but we don't fully understand it. Do you remember Sunday night when the Lord was speaking and he said that if we were to go to another church, we would understand the difference more than we do right now? And some of you can you know what that means. In Romans chapter, you don't have to turn to this, stay there. I told you Acts 2, correct? Good for me. Now let me just read this to you from Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I'm not going to break all this down. I'm going to use it to illustrate a point, the faith-to-faith thing. 20 years ago, we were at a level of faith that wasn't bad. But over the past 20 years, we have gone to higher and higher levels of faith. Now, when I say faith, faith is more about how we live as opposed to what we receive. And too many preachers want to present faith as, you know, faith for, you know, money and faith for houses and cars and stuff like this and stuff like that. When faith is more about, it says, you know, the just shall live by faith, all right? We walk by faith, not by sight. I understand about faith and receiving whatever it is you want to receive, healing, whatever, doesn't matter. But faith is a lifestyle more than a get-it style. And so what we're doing is moving continually to higher levels of life, faith, life. That's what Jesus did, meaning he set the example for us what it was like to live at an extreme level of faith. We're at a place now, to where we have a faith walk. We don't know how good it is. We don't know how high up the scale our faith walk is. And here's part of the reason why. Look at yourselves. I mean, just go ahead, look at yourself. Do you see a faith giant? You say, no, I don't. And here's what's weird. When it comes to living by faith, we really don't know what we're supposed to look like. It's like, well, if I'm living by faith, you know, something ought to be different, but doesn't look like anything different to me. We're not sure what we're looking for. You understand what I'm talking about? And yet, the change has happened. Compare now to where you were years ago as far as what you know about the Word of God. Your walk. Listen, a faith life, if you're saying, well, I must not have much of a faith life because, you know, I haven't raised anybody from the dead. Is that what you're measuring it by? You know, if you take a look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's basically a synopsis of the life of Jesus over 3.5 years. Now, I know, you know, his birth and 12 years old in the temple, but basically, 3.5 year synopsis of his life. Do you understand that if you start adding up 3.5 years compared to what is recorded as far as, well, he went to this city and he did that, or and the multitudes came unto him and he did that. Do you realize these things, these events, the multitudes and feeding the thousands with the loaves and fish, that all happened in one day? You get one day, all right? That wasn't like a 6 months long thing. Those people would have starved to death by then. That was a one-day event. Walking on water, the storm, peace be still. Okay, that's a one-day event. These things that you read about, one-day events. In other words, Jesus, he did more faith living than he did faith acting. Do you understand what I mean by that? He lived day by day, 3.5 years, in what's recorded, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but every one of those days, he wasn't out, you know, breaking loaves and fishes and feeding people and walking on water and calming storms and raising the dead and all that. He did that stuff. It's recorded in Scripture. But he did more day-to-day faith living in 3.5 years than he did all the work stuff. Okay, see, that's where we are. A faith life is not simply about, well, how many blind eyes did you open today? How many people did you pray for who fell down when you prayed for them, huh? I had 5 yesterday, right there in the grocery store. Got arrested, too. No. No, but see, we kind of look for that stuff as evidence we're living by faith. Living by faith is maturing in the Lord. Living by faith is seeing what's in the Bible and living by it, accepting it as truth. Living by faith is realizing that when you wake up in the morning and you got stinky skunk breath, you got BO, your hair is all messed up if you have any, it just, it's all right. And you understand that outward person is not the faith person who just woke up. That's not me. That's my outer me. But the real me lives on the inside. The real me is covered with this. And so the real me's got to take the outward me into the bathroom and scrub, scrub, scrub. Spray, spray, spray. Fix, fix, fix. Paint, paint, paint. Faith is not simply about the outward. Faith is about the inward. That is where we are. We are further along than we understand. And I'm seeing this more clearly. Well, what this means is then for us is more than we understand. Someone one time said to me, I don't really see this as a church. I see this as a college. And I received that as a word from the Lord because that's what a church is supposed to be. Well, in part. I mean, Jesus at my house, house of prayer and all that. I agree. But a church, what we do here, that's about us, the body of Christ. It's not about the lost because they're not in here. Lost people aren't coming in here. You know that. Yes, but we got to reach the lost. I don't disagree with you. But a church, okay, thank you. Acts chapter 2, yes. He said, read this now. Okay, in Acts chapter 2, we know what happened. Day of Pentecost, you know, cloven tongues like as of fire, you know, speaking in tongues, and people show up and they hear them in their own language. Ah, these folks are drunk. Peter stands up and he says, hold on, everybody. These people aren't drunk. This is the fulfillment of what the prophet Joel said. And then Peter preaches. And at some point in this sermon, verse 37, it says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Conviction. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, which means there were some that were not gladly receiving his word, but the ones who were there who gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Who was it that was continuing in the doctrine? It was the people who gladly received his word, the people who were born again. Now, I don't doubt but what there were some others. It's like, what's going on here? And, you know, like hangers-on or the curious. I don't doubt that lost folks were showing up for this, but the focus was on the apostles and all those people who had accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then it talks about how, that verse 43, there were signs that were done by the apostles, and talks about everybody believing. And but if you look in verse 46, it says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Okay, you see this? Continuing daily. What were they doing daily? They were going to school. You say, well, what do you mean they were going to school? The apostles are standing up and they're teaching Jews. There may have been some Gentiles sprinkled in there, but they were teaching Jews something that Jews did not know. They were teaching the Jews about the Holy Spirit. And here's this gift. This is why you're able to speak in this language. Jesus said, and they would teach what Jesus said. And remember what Jesus said before he ascended up on high. He said, you go out, you know, tell the world about me and the folks that accept me as Savior. He said, you teach them the things that I taught you. And so therefore, they are teaching the things. In fact, at another, if you look in Acts chapter 4, we'll come back to chapter 2 in a moment. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, you know, the silver and gold have I none, and such as I have give I thee. The lame man, lame from birth, healed, jumps up, leaps, goes into the sanctuary, the temple, and he's happy and everybody's rejoicing. Well, you know, religious leaders, they didn't like that one bit. So they grab a hold of Peter and John, lock them up, and they begin to question them, you know. And it says that the religious leaders, in verse 16, you know, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Okay, you're rocking hard spot. What do? We can't deny what happened to this guy. But let it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Who do you think you are? They get this guy healed. You sure didn't get him healed. And now you're saying you want to shut them up. Well, wait till that's your kid that needs a healing. Then what are you going to do? And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Now look here. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Well, hey, it's only been a few days here since Jesus ascended back to the Father. So what is it that you've heard the last 3.5 years of his teaching? What do you think was going on when, again, remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 3.5 years of his teaching. They're going from place to place. Every now and then, we get a glimpse as to what happened in this city and that city over there and on this hillside. But in between, what do you think was going on? Jesus is sitting down with these guys and he's teaching them. He is explaining things to them. And so now here Peter and John says, look, you guys are telling us not to preach in the name of Jesus. But I'm going to ask you something, religious leaders. What do you think is more important? For us to listen to you or to hearken unto God? Because you know what? We absolutely must proclaim what we have seen and what we have heard. And so back in Acts chapter 2, that is exactly continuing daily there in the temple. This is what's going on. They're going house to house. It wasn't just to have a meal. They're going house to house. They're teaching people. They're in the temple. They're teaching people. In other words, here you have all these Jews. They have no idea what's going on. See, one of the things quite a while back, the Lord helped me to understand is that as Christians, when we read the Bible, it's easy for us to get this idea that everybody knew about Jesus. Well, they didn't. In fact, remember when Jesus was put on trial and he was brought to Pilate? They had to tell Pilate who he was. All the things that Jesus did, you'd think Pilate would have known. And he didn't know. And so here come the religious leaders of the Jews. We've got this guy, Jesus, and we want him put to death. And Pilate's up there, he's like, why? Well, because he's done this and he's done that and he said this. And Pilate's like, Jesus who? And so they had to explain all this to him. And then Pilate, he didn't want to kill him. He says, I find no wrong with this guy. What's the matter with you people? Here's the point that I'm making that the Lord impressed upon me. Not everybody knew about Jesus. Not everybody had heard about Jesus. And so what happens, you've got all these Jews, and they hear Peter. It's possibly they were hearing Peter preach, and a bunch of them had never heard Jesus preach. Didn't even know what Jesus had done. And so Peter's standing up and he's saying, look, this miracle that's taken place, all of us speaking in the language and so forth, let me tell you how this is possible. And so he begins telling them about Jesus. He goes into, he was crucified, so on and so forth. Well, if all the people already knew all that, why tell them? So anyway, they get all saved. And now here, he's teaching them. John's teaching them. James is teaching them. You know, they're letting these people know, here's what it means to be in the kingdom. These are the things that Jesus taught. And the people are hearing things. It's like, wait a second. You know, that sounds contradictory to what we heard growing up. And they would have replied, you have heard it said, thou shalt thus and thus. But Jesus says unto you this and you see what I'm saying? They would have taught what they had been taught. Now, what that means relative to us here is that I'm not even sure how to put all this into words. You know, we had here, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I shared with you that this year, there's something about this year right now, there's something happening this year. There is a change that's taking place. There is a progress. There's, I don't know how exactly to put it, but this year, and you know, don't get into, well, 2019, what does that mean in the Bible? You know, the Jewish Hebrew 2019, what is the value? No, get off that, man. Don't do that. Don't get on to all that stuff. What it means is this. We've reached a point as a congregation to where here it is. And there's a new, I don't even like to use the word new because it sounds like, ooh, God's going to do something he's never done before. Well, no, to us it will be, but not in the kingdom, not in the history of God's existence. And so we're in a place now, even though we're small in number, we're mighty in God in a way that we don't fully understand. We've got more going on in us than we fully realize. God's wanting us, wanting to take it to another level, and I don't even know the fullness of what that means. But here's what he's helping me with, or helped me with, should say. I've had this idea that everyone who attends this church is going to grab a hold of all of this, and they're just going to, man, I mean, press into what God has called them to do. And they're going to become the teacher or the evangelist or the whatever. It doesn't mean to go out in full-time ministry. I mean, I've taught on the callings before and how that they can be fulfilled even when you don't leave your home church. And, you know, that people are going to press into whatever their calling is. But I realize now that's not going to happen. It's not. It's not going to happen. For some people, it's never going to happen. Well, that sounds negative. Well, hold on. It does sound negative. But for some people, it's never going to happen. Well, why not, Brother Martin? I don't think we have enough paper to write down all the reasons. A myriad of reasons. Okay, now, some might say, well, those poor, pathetic. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Now, here's what the Lord is helping, that I'm going to try and get across to you in a way that'll make sense. Everybody here is further along than what they realize. That means what we have here is you've got some people, and I don't know what the numbers are, but you've got some folks, they're like, yeah, okay, I can do this, and I'm going to. And I'm going to press, and I'm going to become. You've got others, they fellowship with God, but they're not fighting for their calling. But that's okay from the perspective of we're still together. Now, we've had people over the last 20 years who've been here, some left, and if how can I say this? They didn't have to leave, but that's the way it went. Enough said about that. But the folks that aren't going to fight to press into that calling, they are still here. Do you get that? They're still here. And because of that, now I'm going to use some terminology that you know the Lord kind of dropped into me. They are like support staff. You understand this? They're going to pray. They're absolutely going to pray. They're going to be here. They're going to attend. Some are more faithful than others, but they're going to be here. They give in offerings. They are a part of this. It's just that for whatever the reason, they're not going to fight into that place of their calling. But where they are and to the level they are going to grow and develop and continue. Because, see, if you hang around here and you're faithful here, there's going to be a level of growth. It's going to happen. So, you know, hallelujah. But those folks are going to continue to grow, going to continue to be here, going to continue to pray. When we have the times of fasting, they're going to be a part of that. However they fast, however they choose to, they're going to be a part of that. They're going to worship. They're going to get into the Word of God. They are going to grow. And even though they don't press fully into their calling, they are every bit as critical as every other person in this ministry. They are absolute pure gold in the eyes of God. And that's what they are to this ministry. And what that means is, God, He knows the beginning from the end, and so He looks down and He sees this situation. He says, all right, you know, I've got, you know, you and you and you and you. All right, you folks over here, you're going to be pressing into your calling. And you guys over here, you're not, but you're still pressing. You're still going forward. You're still maturing. You're still growing. And I already know how all this is going to pan out, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the whole bunch of you, and I'm going to put you together and continue to use you as a single unit in the kingdom. And I'm going to do great things in your midst. And even if you don't see yourself as qualified, the fact that you're here is a level of qualification. Now, this is how God sees this. That is what is happening here. One of the things that that he shared with me is that, you know, I'm taught on what I refer to as the four pillars of spiritual growth: prayer, fasting, prayer, primarily praying in tongues, fasting, worship, both corporate and private, and the Word. And the Word being, you know, reading and meditating and confessing and so forth, the Word. There is going to be a higher level of emphasis on those four from this time on. Now, how that's going to manifest, I really don't know. I just know that it's going to, there's going to, it, these things are going to be a priority. Now, that there's going to be more times of called fasting throughout the year. Whatever that means, again, to each person, but there are going to be times of called fasting. We're going to do more of the, some of you referred to it as the unplugged week, you know, separating yourself from TV and all that internet stuff and Facebook and all that, you know, and get focused on the Lord. There's going to be more. Because see, what's happening is God is taking us to a higher level of spiritual training for confirmation to the image of Christ. And from that perspective of a college, this church, this ministry is more of a college than a lot of other churches. One of the things that he spoke to me tonight, there are a lot of churches that have excelled in the area of praise and worship, but when it comes to doctrine, they fall far short. In other words, that leg of the table, praise and worship out of the four pillars, they got it. They're doing great on that. But the other, as far as doctrine and the Word, well, it's not there the way it should be. All right. What we're going to do is focus on strengthening all four. We're going to develop all four more than what we have. And I already know this, that at some point in time in this year, I'm supposed to teach on the aspect of prayer, but especially corporate prayer. What it does, why it's critical, the impact it has. I'll just give you a preview real quick. I'm not going to go into it. Don't want to get... Okay, he just said don't do that. All right. Okay, trust me, it'll be good. Hallelujah. There's your preview. It'll be good. But the reason is because we're at a place now to where we're ready for this. You know how a nutritionist will tell you, you need to eat a balanced meal, you know, a balanced diet, okay? God's working to bring about a greater level of balance into this ministry. And you know when you pour cement, it has to harden. Now, I've heard, I guess this is true, I don't know for sure, I don't even know how you'd find out, but I've heard, you know, the Hoover Dam out there, where is that, Arizona? Nevada, is that where it is, Nevada? You know, that big, massive, gigantic, I hope to go there someday, take pictures of it, Hoover Dam. Yeah, who wants to go? From what I've heard, all the cement that they poured, that the very center of it, some of it's still curing. Now, this is like, what, 60 years later, 70 years later or something? Okay, maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But I do know this. You know, we had some work done at our house, and they had to... I mean, it was major, major work. In our basement, they had a jackhammer all the way around the walls. I mean, completely jackhammer all the way around. And they created a mess. Good glory to God that they created a mess. But one of the things they had to do was put this drainage stuff in and so on. The house is 70 what years old? It's built in 1941, 78 years old. All right. So the house is older than us. Anyway. When they got done, they had to put new cement on top of all the stuff, the drainage they laid, but they poured new cement. And they said, okay, now, after a certain number of hours, here's what the cement's going to look like. And then they said, you know, after a little bit more time, you'll be able to put something on it, but don't put anything real heavy on it until a certain amount more time. And the reason was because even though on the outside it looked like it's okay and you could touch it and, you know, knock on it with your hand, well, it feels hard, It was still hardening, okay? We are, God, what's the right way to say this, Lord? More cement is being poured. Our spiritual walls are getting thicker, and they're hardening in a good way because of what God is wanting to do here through us. Now, that doesn't mean we're better than anybody else, because every other church that's out there that names the name of Jesus Christ, he'll do this. But you have to make yourself ready and available to do it. So we look at everything that we've done. We look at all these conferences that we've had. We look at all the different days of the times of the prayer and the confessions that we've done, all the teaching and all of this, and it's like, are we really accomplishing anything? Because, you know, let's be honest, Pastor, sure thought we'd have a lot more people by now. Yeah, you and me both. But to answer that question, oh yeah, we are accomplishing a whole lot more than what we realize. When we come together and we begin to, okay, do you remember the story in Scripture? Where the enemy came in and attacked, and Jehoshaphat said, God, we got a problem here. He says, you know, we're outnumbered. There's no way we can deal with this. I mean, you know, there's gazillions of the enemy soldiers. And God said, well, here's what you want to do. You want to get everybody together and have a time of seeking me. And so they all came together and talks about, you know, they praise the Lord and so forth. You can read the story. This is the short version. But anyway, when they went out to engage the enemy, the praisers went first, okay? Now, I'm sure they're wondering, okay, what good is this doing? But they begin to praise the Lord. And the Bible says that when they began to praise, that God set ambushments, you know, against the enemy. And you had three armies that had come together to attack the Jewish folks. Well, these armies, they got weird. Let me say it like this, a spirit of confusion. You know, it really what I would explain it like this. The glory of God began to move in the camp of the enemy, and it came up against their hardened hearts and, you know, sin-filled minds, if you will. And that released confusion. And they start killing each other. I mean, so when the Jews show up, they're all dead. They're all dead. You know, you'd think when you got the last two standing there getting, you know, trying to hack on each other, it's like, wait a second. Hold on. Look around here. Do you notice anything? Everybody's dead but us. How about if we just call it a day and go home? I'll buy you a coffee, all right? Starbucks down the road here. No, the last two guys, man, they just killed each other to death. And the Jews show up, and it's like, well, Shazam, looky there. Here's what I'm getting at. They were accomplishing something in the Spirit. They had no clue. They did not realize the impact they were having on the enemy. They were just marching into battle, singing praises to God. Okay, that is what is happening here. We are having an impact in the realm of the Spirit. The Jews were over here having their time. The enemy is over here getting ready to kill all the Jews. We are here. And we're having a spiritual impact and making a difference who knows where in this world. Because see, God, Scripture says, you know, He inhabits our praises. God moves through what we yield ourselves over to in the Spirit. And if He needs our prayers and our worship and our confession to work a work of might and power and deliverance 1,000 miles away, then praise God, that's what He's going to do. Because He uses what we offer up to Him. And so therefore, as we continue to go forward, as we continue to press into Him, it's not that we're looking for some kind of a, well, we want to feel goosebumps. No, We keep doing what we've been doing, and we increase it as we go. And as we go and we do increase it, it's because spiritually we're ready for the increase. It's because spiritually we've mortified enough of our flesh, we're ready to step into that next level. We're ready to go forward because the things of this world aren't meaning as much to us as what they used to. And we're understanding my will. My will, what does my will mean? His will is what gets it done. And so what's we're doing here, we're growing into this at a greater level and a greater measure. And we're going to be more prepared for whoever comes in, that we can minister to them, we can edify them, we can encourage them in the days to come, in the weeks to come, the sermons to come. I don't know the fullness of how all the services are going to manifest as far as what all's going to happen. But I'm really sensing in my heart that some of our services just aren't going to be the way they've always been. I mean, Sunday night was kind of like that, and tonight, man, God bless you guys, man. I mean, you begin opening up and releasing, you know, more, some really intense praise and worship. Well, I don't know what every service is going to hold, and we're not going to manufacture something different just to say something different. And we're going to flow with God. We're going to go with what He wants. And so therefore, you know, you guys, all of us here, and those of you who are watching, you're part of it. I mean, if you count this as like a home church or whatever, you're part of this too. And I wouldn't be one bit surprised, and I'm not prophesying, I would not be one bit surprised if God's dealing with people out there to move here, to be a part of this. Now, those of you out there who are watching this, you know, don't say, oh, I just got a word from Pastor Jim, the Lord spoke, I'm supposed to move. Don't do that, all right? Don't you do anything until you pray it out. You better be sure that God's speaking to you. Do not act until you know for sure. Stay where you are. Stay where you're planted until God says, okay, it's time to go somewhere else. So, you know, guys, look, be encouraged with this. Be encouraged to know, yeah, you made progress. You made a lot of progress. You're so far advanced into God, so far beyond where you've been. We're ready for this next step, this next level, or however you'd want to term it. We're ready for it. And God is going to be leading us into it gently. He's not going to be forcing anything, but He's going to lead us gently into this next, whatever it is. And don't say, oh, well, praise God, you know, we're going to start seeing the signs and the wonders, and we're going to start seeing, you know, angels flying around the sanctuary. No. No, it's all about the kingdom of God within. And seeing that kingdom take place, work through, manifest however God wants. I'm excited about this. I'm looking forward to it. Because every person here, you're part of it. You are an active part of it. Not a dormant part. And it's going to impact us all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, go ahead and stand.